How do we understand this seemingly unfair and unjust parable that Jesus presented to us, in the gospel? Just to give us a context of the labor practices during the time of Jesus. During the time of Jesus, the regular full day work starts from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. So it's not actually like what we have today where we start at 8 and then we end at 5 or even 4. So it was really a whole day of work. So that is because in the Jewish calendar and understanding of time, 6 p.m. is already the next day. That's where we got the concept of the vigil mass. We considered the vigil mass on Saturday evening at 6 or 5, because it finished at 6, as already Sunday mass, because in the Jewish understanding of time, that's already the next day. So we were told that the landowner sought workers to work in his vineyard, and he went out really early, even before 6 a.m., to look for workers. And there were people available to work right away, the first batch, who worked from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. And then he went out again because he probably thought and realized, I need more people in my farm. If not, we won't be able to make the production, the quota. So he went to seek workers again, not just one, not just twice, but actually 5 times. The first batch of workers worked for 12 hours. The second batch of workers worked for 9 hours. The third batch of workers worked for 6 hours. The fourth batch of workers worked for 3 hours, and the last one only worked for an hour. And how much each of those batches received? The same compensation. If you are part of the first one, what would you feel? Is it going to be unfair? You know, it's important for us to understand what justice is really about. Human justice versus human justice. When we speak of justice, it is our basic obligation that needs to be met towards another. What we owe from the beginning, it has to be complied. What I owe you, I should give it. What we agreed upon, I should give it to you in order for me to say that I am just and fair. The landowner was very specific as to what the first batch would receive. You're going to be receiving the usual wage for the day, and he gave it to them. He is just. He is fair. But what he did to the other batches of workers is more than justice. Anything that we do over what is required of us is not just justice, it's love, it's charity. But the basic, the first step in order for us to grow in love, to grow in charity, is that we have to be just. If I cannot give you what you deserve and what we agreed upon, and if I don't do that, I'm far from loving you. That is the first step for justice. But how do we understand this? What's the point of Jesus in giving us this parable? My brother, who is a priest in California, texted me last night. This is his first year in the ministry. Then he said, I never really learned this from the seminary. What's your homily? Because he was having a hard time reflecting on this. And I gave him a story that I actually experienced several years ago in another parish, which actually brings forth or brings into clarity a little bit the point of Jesus in the gospel. There was a couple who was very involved in the church, in the parish, and they were regular mass goers for years, years and years and years. And Tom and Steph were actually very, you know, if you need a volunteer, they'll be the first one to be there. If you need anything, then they would always call and say, "Father, I read this in the bulletin. Is there something that we can do?" And then suddenly, I got a phone call from Steph and said, "Father, can you go to the hospital because Tom is actually on his last days of his life?" And I said, "What happened?" I was like, "Well, it was just so sudden. And when the doctor says that he doesn't have a lot of time to live." So I went there. And Tom was still conversant. Then Tom said, "Father, you know, if you can baptize me as soon as possible, that would be great." I said, "Tom, you're not Catholic?"
I said, "You're more Catholic than your wife."
No, but, you know, but he said, "No, I have just been going with my wife and supporting her in her faith all these years. But of course, I learned a lot about the Catholic faith all throughout these years. But I never really mustered the courage to go to the RCIA because I was so busy and all of that. But you know, I would go to Mass every single Sunday. But Father, the doctor said that I don't have a lot of time. I really want to be part of the faith. Can you baptize me?" And I said, "Sure. The guy doesn't need RCIA. He is so devoted in the Catholic faith." So I baptized him. After 3 days, he passed away. So quick. And then we were doing the funeral preparation, and Steph came in and said, I greeted her in the door, and I was ushering her to the meeting room. And Steph said, "Father, this is really unfair." I thought she was saying that Tom was taken from her, like, without a lot of preparation. So, and I said, "What do you mean unfair? That guy, Father, I'm sure he's in heaven right now. Because he was just baptized 3 days ago. And all his sins, you know, were wiped away, and he's assured of heaven. But me, I have been working in the vineyard for so long, and I'm not even sure if I'm going to get to heaven. And how fair is that?" We can say that Tom only worked for the vineyard just like those workers who work less hours. But was given the same spiritual recompense that every baptized has been promised from the very beginning. But I told her, I said, "Don't feel bad. You know, Tom was able to ask for the Catholic faith because of you. Because you have been working in the vineyard, and that has inspired him, even it was a little bit towards the end, to be able to embrace fully the faith. It was because of you that Tom is reaping the heavenly rewards." And she felt better. Well, I'm sure she was not really complaining, but you know, she was just driving the point. The point of the matter is that in as much as God wants us to work in the vineyard right away, but there are lots of elements in our life that sometimes deter us to start to working in the vineyard right away. When the landowner asks the other batches of workers, "Why are you guys just sitting here and waiting?" And the other workers said, "Because no one wants to hire us," meaning no one has invited them. The importance of invitation, of evangelization, in order for us to bring people to, in order for people to experience faith, is super important. You know, faith is not just something that is personal, that I try to nurture on my own. It is as personal, but it is also communitarian and ecclesial. Sometimes a personal invitation makes a huge difference. And you know, some people would say, if that is the case, Father, I just want to live my life and be away from all these rules of the church and come back to the church when I'm almost there. I said, when do you know that you're almost there? It's good that Tom had that opportunity. But not all of us is given that opportunity. How many people do you hear who just pass away like that, you know, with aneurysm, so young and all of that, by accident and all of that? Not everyone is given that opportunity like that of Tom. But you know, the other thing too is the joy and the joyful experience of working in the vineyard of God from the very beginning. There is no greater joy than that, to be part of the vineyard from the very beginning rather than at the end. It's not so much about the destination, but rather it is about the journey. But remember also another, I have great anointing moments with people, and they really teach me about even my own ministry and the value of faith. I anointed someone who was 78 years old a couple of years ago, and he said to me, you know, Father, I came back to the faith 8 years ago when he was 70. Then he said, you know, all the things that I have been looking for about happiness, joy, and all of that, I thought I could find it somewhere else, but thanks be to God that I decided to go back to the faith when I was 70, and I still have 8 more years to actually relish what it means to be in great and deep relationship with God. But how I wish I knew about this early on, because of the things that I miss. How I wish I have learned this from the very beginning, so that I am also was able to be passionate about this and pass it on to my children. It is all about staying in the relationship from the very beginning. You know, one thing that I realized actually after my homily last night at the vigil, I was talking with Deacon Bill, and I said, one thing that I realized after I finished my homily is how relentless and pursuing the landowner is in the gospel. He went out so many times, 5 times, to look for people, to invite them to the vineyard. And not only that, he did not just ask like someone to do it for him. He was the one who was looking for laborers to work in his vineyard. And if this is the picture or the image of the kingdom of God, that's how God is to each and every one of us. He is personally inviting each and every one of us to work in his vineyard. He doesn't send just like a middleman or a middle person. He's calling us. And where he is calling us? Right here in our own hearts, in our conscience. Sometimes through the message of the priest. Sometimes with the testimony of people around us. Could you see how God wants so badly for each and every one of us to be part of his vineyard because of the joy and the recompense in the end? But the great thing about this story is that it's all about invitation. And the landowner never forced the workers to go and work. It was out of their own free will. It was out of their own free will. if we have some reservations right now to work fully in the vineyard of God, you know, God is looking for you. God is asking you, I want you to be in my vineyard from the very beginning of the day towards the end of the day. I just don't want you there part-time. I just don't want you there for a few hours. I want you to be there because you are not just going to be workers for me. You are family. You are children of mine. And I want you to relish the inheritance that I want to give to you. And there's no other joy and happiness compared to what I am giving to give to you. You know, how convinced are you of that, guys? Some people will die for it. I was talking with Casey. Okay, Casey, I hope I'm not going to expose you too much. During the check-in, and I said, Casey, so good to see you. How's religious life? He said, Father, it's a life of abandonment. And I said, that's what Christian life is all about. It's abandoning ourselves to the great invitation of the Father, because there is nothing greater than God's invitation. But it is in this abandonment that we become fully rich. And the joy is incomparable. Let's be there for the landowner. You know, the work in the kingdom right now is more pressing than ever. There's a lot of darkness out there. There's a lot of negativity. There's a lot of, what else? Darkness, hopelessness. And you can be that instrument of hope, of light, and most especially of joy. Let's all partner in the building up of the kingdom of God.